want to welcome you all to the celebration and blessing for Pete and Shirley. This is truly a remarkable turnout for the Friday afternoon of a Labor Day weekend. I think there are more people here than there were at work today. That ought to make you both feel pretty good. We are here to celebrate 41 years of service with InterVarsity, and of course, service to the kingdom that extends long beyond that, both before and afterwards. We have some special guests here with the Hammond family. We have Lane. Where'd Lane go? Lane's, well, come on, you're way in the back there. Lane and Andrew are together. And then Alora is where? Oh, in the bathroom. I had 7-year-olds. I know how that goes. And then Lee, who also came up from Chicago. There are many guests here today, and I'm just going to introduce a couple of them. Bob and Gwyneth, where are you? Who came up from Peoria, longtime friends, and came up just for this. It is a real joy, and this is going to be a little time of testimonial and reflection and fun. It has to be fun, right? It's not going to be somber in any sense of the term. So I will start with a couple of stories about Pete. One of the most touching moments I've had in my 6 years in InterVarsity was fall meetings, when we decided that was the time to honor Pete with that group of senior leaders. What I was not expecting and did not anticipate at all was, first of all, how many people stood up and said, Pete did this for me at a crucial time in my life, and it impacted why I'm still with InterVarsity. It went on and on and on. I mean, I kept watching the watch, and people were in tears. Anyway, it was a very special time, I think, not just for you, Pete, but I think for all of us in InterVarsity. And I think of another dinner that Mary and I had with Shirley and Pete in June, which we kind of pulled out all the stops, and that was a lot of fun to be with you guys. On the light side, there's a famous moment caught on video somewhere, which we hope never to see. We were down visiting a donor in Alabama, and he had an amusement park of sorts, and one of the rides were toilet seats that you actually rode on like go-karts. And so the famous scene, as Pete tells the story, although I've never seen the video, is I'm actually cutting him off on a corner and sort of running him into the rail. I recall the toilet seat story different, but it will live. But of course, there is tape, right? So the tape will eventually tell what's true. I've also seen Pete at his best and his worst with golfing. There was one time out in New Hampshire a couple of summers ago when he was unconscious, hitting the ball and just playing great. And then the second time, let's just say it was a little less glorious, right? I've also been with Pete on the golf course when lightning hit. And at least, you know, the risk taker that you are, we actually did stop. And of course, reading about what happened to the fellow this week who didn't stop, I'm glad that we did. Thank you very much. InterVarsity is helping with the purchase and the setup of a new laptop so that Pete can continue with his writing. And sure, we're really glad that you're here, and this is a dual honoring of you both, because without you, none of this would have been possible with Pete's service to the fellowship. We thank you. So we're going to have a little time of testimonies, and I have a feeling, like fall meetings, this could get away from us, but that's okay a bit. And I've asked three people to sort of prime the pump, and if you would just come up in order, Barney, Deanne, and then Steve. And then after that, it's sort of open mic. And either, if you're back in a corner, please come to a place you're seeing. Maybe the simplest thing with this many people is just if you're not totally gun-shy, is just come up here. So, Barney, come first.
Well, let me say, to begin with, I don't like doing this. I find it difficult to think about an InterVarsity without you. And I usually can hold it together, but I'm not sure. We'll see how I do. I think this is a good example of Pete. As most of you know, I'm making a change and moving to advancement starting next week. So in my mail last week came this binder. Barney, welcome to the helm of InterVarsity Advancement. And then there's a table of contents and a wonderful set of resources. So here's a guy packing up an office, getting ready to retire, and he's thinking about my engagement with my next assignment. And I took this out over lunch and read through it carefully. It's a great, great gift. Now we have to have lunch and talk about what's in it. Just a couple things, lots of people are going to share, and I don't want to take too much time, but I can't remember when we first met. I think I was at least a very young staff worker, if not a student. As I've been around Pete and we've formed a friendship, there's a level of honesty that is refreshing. And he sticks with you and works through, and we work through some things. And I thank you for that, brother. He's a tremendous mentor. I don't think I've ever heard Pete pray when he didn't pray theologically and pray about people and pray about the poor. I always get drawn back to biblical values when I'm around you. And I've watched you write and work with your family, and it's become a model for me of what it means to be a senior male trying to contribute to an extended family. And we're just beginning to get into the grandparent business, so it's become pretty meaningful. Your contributions around here entrepreneurially are marvelous. And what you've done for us in evangelism and multi-ethnicity and all kinds of leadership and interim roles like advancement, which you've held twice, are really, really wonderful. Pete also sent around a book about this size of all the networks he has and the boards he's on, the way he's represented. And I think, Pete, one of the things you need to be thanked for is you've probably done more than any other person in the last 30 or 40 years to represent InterVarsity publicly. And you've done it well and with great diplomacy. So thank you for that. And then one story that they say, if you're going to tell stories, you really ought to tell them on yourself. So this is a little bit about Pete and a little bit about me. But one of the first experiences we had was I got invited to go down to Southern Biblical Leadership Camp in Chattanooga. Pete had back trouble and couldn't be there the first week or so. So when he showed up, and I was, I think, in my third or fourth year on staff, so I knew a lot. I made an appointment and sat down and explained to Pete all that was good and all that could be improved about Southern Biblical Leadership training. And Pete listened very patiently. And when I finally stopped, he said, "Barney, have you ever had an unspoken thought?" To which I paused and said, "No, I don't think I have." It's been that kind of partnership. I appreciate it. It's not over. All right?
Next. Well, some years ago, it seems, a number of us were asked to write letters of tribute to Pete and reflect on our time with Pete Hammond. And as I looked at the date on this letter, it says January 2006, okay, so last year. And I recall writing this actually in the fall of 2005. And as I reflected on this, I realized, you know, Pete in his pioneering entrepreneurial way must be laying a new path for a new way to retire. Maybe I missed the memo that said Pete actually isn't leaving. We're just sort of going through this long process of retirement. Pete, are you actually going to retire?
From InterVarsity.
From InterVarsity.
Say that again.
And surely it is wonderful to see you here and your family. You know, in times like this, all kinds of flowery words are said, some of which are true, right? And we are trusting you this afternoon to stand up and say, wait a minute, here's the truth on that. That's a lie, whatever, okay? So, I just wanted to reference very briefly a few letters from around the world to give us all just a bit of a flavor, a reminder of Pete's impact. Here's a letter from Teresa Callett, who's a professor of law, University of St. Thomas Law School. She says, "Just a quick note of thanks for your insights on how the church fails its professional members who work to build the body of Christ, including working within the local churches and parishes, and yet have not received the spiritual guidance they need to effectively witness in the workplace." Or this person responding to an article that Pete had written entitled "Spirituality at Work." Awesome article. "Isn't it amazing how God uses people and communities to further his kingdom?" Or how about this one? Colin, he is a deputy principal of Moorlands Bible College in the UK, 150 students. They were grappling with a marketplace issue. He says, I want to congratulate you on such excellent work. Pete had responded back to them and helped them through the theological issues that they were facing. Or Mandy Liu, who I believe is from Singapore, this is what she says. It is great to find a website dedicated to Christians in the marketplace. I am an InterVarsity alumnus and recently started a Bible study for most new IV graduate students. I was wondering if you would recommend some Bible study guides that would be relevant to where we are in the marketplace. Thank you very much. This one from Fran McComb, who may still be an NCF regional coordinator. Just want to say thanks for the many resources that you've provided. We've heard a lot about marketplace ministries before, but until now have only seen a few of the books on the IV store. I'm on staff with NCF, but have been thinking about starting a small group at my church that is more inclusive than just nurses, to apply some of the same concepts we talk about at any work adventure. I am really impressed with the amount and quality of the resources that you have made available, and they will more than help not only the group I am talking about, but also the NCF ministry as a whole. I will also be recommending the resources to my nursing colleagues and NCF, a marketplace ministry that we are all involved in. Thanks again. We look forward to further updates. And the lists continue. One more, Pete. This is from a long email, and it ends with, Pete, your work shows wonderful responsiveness to God's nudging. I'll always thank you for your early teaching, leading, and enthusiasm, and for the way God is using you, your old and sometimes wayward friend in Christ, Lyle. Okay, so a number of people from around the world. Well, here are just some thoughts, and I realize these are from me, but I suspect they could be written by any number of us in the room. It says, what a privilege it is to write a few words of tribute to you and the God we serve for what he has done through your life and ministry. You have had an incredibly positive influence on my life. In fact, it is not a stretch to say that I have grown and been stretched more under your influence than any other person in my life. You have helped shape my character, shown me a fuller, more biblical theology, and you believed in me. I am deeply indebted to you for at least the following 8 ways in which you have impacted my life. And number one, by mentorship. You believed in me and encouraged me along the way, as well as provided a word of counsel and correction when needed. You were concerned not just with what I was producing, but with how I was growing and developing as a person. Number two, in theological formulation. During the 2 years that I worked for you on a full-time basis within Marketplace, you helped me gain a fuller and, I believe, more biblical understanding of God's call and mission for every believer. This has had a huge impact on my understanding of what ministry is and where and how it is to be conducted. It is almost as if the last 2 years that I've spent with you were the equivalent to earning a master's degree. I have cherished the last 10 years as we have continued our partnership together. Much of what I have learned while walking side by side with you for a while provides the foundation for my work in ministry today. Number three, through encouragement and freedom to dream. One of the many joys of working directly with you was the privilege of thinking broadly and oftentimes outside the box. I learned more under your tutelage than in any classroom setting. Number four, as a hardworking, highly productive, and yet fun example. Well, Pete, your work ethic and productivity is legendary. You have produced an incredible amount of stuff. It's the only way to say it. What an incredible joy to team up with you and establish and then manage the IVMDL website. It's kind of the central depository of much of your life's work, and it's wonderful that Ravenna.org and Roy, under his management, will pick up that resource. In the midst of production deadlines, the work before us never became a drudgery. You helped us enjoy our work and have fun along the way. Well, number five, as a bold, visionary leader, you have demonstrated what it means to be mission-driven. Number six, as a commensurate networker, you have demonstrated what it means to do life and ministry in community. You have invited others to benefit and be blessed by the richness of your numerous networks, as Barney has already alluded to. Number seven, an interpreter of culture and society. Your observations and understanding of the wider culture constantly impacted your decision making and your actions. For that, we are grateful. And then number 8, and all of these are good, but this one is especially, it's just especially meaningful. By abounding in generosity, you have shown what it means to be a very generous person. This is probably most notably demonstrated in your handling of the most precious commodity of all, and that is time. That is to say, you constantly, freely, and ungrudgingly have given of your time to so many of us. Whether it's in a retreat setting or a seminar setting or in private conversations, you constantly give of yourself to others. I'm personally very grateful for this. Pete, and I'm going to say this in the plural, we count it a real privilege to have worked in partnership with you. We are much better people for having walked with you. We will always treasure you, our conversations, and our work together. And may God bless you and Shirley and your family in the days ahead. Thanks, Pete.
It's a hard act to follow. Thank you.
We'll do fine, Dan.
I was told to have something well prepared. I have nothing. It's hard to believe that it's been 14 and a half years, and I can remember working up the hill at Railback. And every day I would drive home, and I'd drive right down here, and I would pass this building having no idea that this was InterVarsity, having no idea that Pete Hammond worked here, but I would hear his voice every day on Marketplace Voices. And I would listen to him, and I would listen to his broadcast, and I would wonder who this man was, and I would listen to his radio spot because I was a Christian, and I would just think, boy, if you only knew how tough it was for me up at Railback. But I didn't know that God would lead me here, and I didn't know that 14 and a half years later I would be standing here and I'd be saying goodbye. And I didn't know that I would have developed a relationship with him. And it's amazing because I think if we had met anywhere else but in this working relationship, we probably wouldn't be friends.
Are you done?
I don't think that Pete and I have anything in common. And that just shows you what the grace of God can do. And that just shows what being a believer in Jesus Christ can do. Because I have a great respect for this man, and I truly believe he respects me. I love this man, and I think that he loves me. And we have been a great team. And he's given me a wonderful gift. And I have no words other than I will miss him. I will miss working for him. And I just thank God for the opportunity that he gave me when he brought me here 15 and a half years ago. Now, as some of you know, we did a commemorative book for Pete about 2 years ago. We started it in 2005 under Andrea. And we gave it to him in Atlanta at one of his legacy events. But some staff said, well, hey, wait a minute, I didn't get a chance to write my tribute to Pete. So Pete, here's your second tribute book. Please be sure and eat up the chocolate.
Well, not there yet. Now it's going to be open mic, and if you can keep your comments to 2 minutes or less. These were invited speakers. I wanted them to speak a little longer. In order to get through, I have a fear and a hope this could go. But just come up, if you would, and so you can see everybody. And I'm going to sit down, and if you get too long, I will probably stand up and walk towards you.
Pete, Gwyneth and I sat down, and it was kind of interesting to be able to take a walk down memory lane, and we wrote some thoughts down, which I'd like to share with you and others. It seems only a short time ago that we were sitting in the seats of the Urbana Convention, and you were giving us our daily instructions about what to do, what not to do, and how to take advantage of the convention. Little did we know that we would spend most of the rest of our lives with you setting the tone for what to do, what not to do, and how to take full advantage of our workplace experience through the MDL program. At the time of our first Urbana conventions, we had the sense, watch this guy, he could be dangerous. A few years later, well, actually many years later, we began to chauffeur for the Urbana conventions. And we were never more busy than the year that we chauffeured for Pete. If you remember, we reconnected for Marketplace 86. You were looking for the dean of a computer track, and we were looking for opportunities to make a difference in people's lives in the workplace. During that time, God permitted us to connect with a number of people who became lifelong friends and laborers with Jesus in the MDL program. It was through that Marketplace 86 phenomenon and many other Marketplace and MDL opportunities that have brought us some of the most rewarding, most satisfying, and most fulfilling experiences of our Christian journey. In those early MDL experiences, they set the tone for our careers for the next 20 years. Both of us are recognized leaders in our work, our church, in our community because of the important principles that we learned, that we taught and applied from those early Marketplace experiences. Gwyneth and I want to thank you for your faithfulness to the ministry. You've been a great leader, and it was our pleasure to serve with you. We are better servants of Jesus because we know you. God bless you and sure.
I've really enjoyed having Pete come in, and I'm going to miss your laugh. Because sitting at the front desk, you know, his desk is right around, you know, his office is right around the corner, and he'd have someone in there, and he would just be howling. And I would just be sitting there smiling. It was just so much fun. Anyway, what happened was Mike and I went to a Lutheran Bible translator a service for some friends of ours yesterday. They were people that had served with us in Guatemala, and she has struggled with cancer, and he's had a lot of back issues, and so they were honoring them for their years of translating the Bible down there and persisting and continuing on, and that's all I thought we were going to do down there. I didn't think it had a thing to do with here. And so then they had a luncheon, and we went to that, and this lady comes up to me afterwards, and she goes, "You work for InterVarsity?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "Do you know Pete Hammond?" And I said, "Yes." And she goes, "Oh, can you give him a note?" And I said, "Yes." I said, "As a matter of fact, he's retiring tomorrow." She goes, "Oh." So she wrote out this note, and I took a picture of her, and I brought it to them today. And I just thought, this was so much fun. Here you are in a whole different world, a whole different area, a whole different realm. And they know Pete.
Well, Pete, I was first introduced to, I think I've said this before, Urbana 76 and 79. I was just a little delegate up in the nosebleeds, and you were this wonderful MC down on the platform, and I remember coming to InterVarsity and actually getting to meet you. I was just so blown away. And then I've worked with you for almost 27 years. But what we've still, my relationship with you is still a lot around events. Marketplace 86, San Francisco 83, Washington 80, lots of Urbanas, some staff conferences, and I can't figure out a few probably other events mixed in between. I just want to say that I deeply appreciated working with you. And you are a lot of fun to work with, and I will miss your laugh. When I walked in, I thought, there's not enough laughter going on.
Yes.
You're a fun person to work with, but you're also a very serious person to work with, and you take your faith very deeply, and I appreciate that a lot. Andy told me the other day he's been reading the book that you gave us, and he's using it in his quiet time. Mm-hmm. So thank you for the ways that we've worked together, and thank you for the ways that you've contributed to my own growth and development through the years. You often pass me articles and things that I need to read and consider, and so I'm just deeply grateful that our paths have crossed for all of these years. Thank you so much.
Say thank you to you, Pete, for how you encouraged somebody who was coming in brand new into the office. You were one of the first people I remember meeting. It was part of the interviewing process, if I remember right. And then also in the office coming and talking with me and telling me about the history of InterVarsity, constantly sharing ideas. Some of the things that have been absolutely most helpful are papers on reflections on Urbana, what happens when people go through the process and what some of the spiritual dangers are of that, and how helpful that's been to us and to the speakers, and constant input of materials and ideas that just are from a wide range of sources, and it just has really, really been enriching. There's no one else in the office that does that, no one, and that'll really be missed, so thank you very much for that.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Pete. If you want to have fun playing golf and keep it in its right perspective, play with Pete. You know, because it's no big deal, no matter what happens. I met Pete in the fall of 1977 at Bear Trap Ranch. He probably doesn't remember this, but I have vivid memories of it. My wife and I were involved in what used to be called the local committee structure for InterVarsity. We were the committee chairs for Central California, and they invited these folks to Bear Trap to come and hang out for a couple days. And we had one child, and my wife was pregnant with another one, and Pete made a comment that raising kids was easy. And we paused and said, okay. He says, all you have to do is the right thing day after day. You know, it's 31 years later, that was the best advice we ever got, raising kids. I've never forgotten it. And Pete has modeled that if you want to finish well in ministry, it's really easy. All you have to do is the right thing, day after day. Pete, thank you.
Thank you very much.
I want to say thank you, Pete. I think I met you at my first board meeting in February of 2000 in San Diego, I think it was. I was new to the board. I knew one person there, and I remember it being the kind of meeting where you're not sure what to expect, and then you end up diving in with both feet first, and I think I ended up jumping into quite a heated exchange, and on the break, I remember Pete coming over to welcome me to the Ivy family and give me advice. And he kind of put his arm around me and we went for a little walk and he started to explain to me the family that I had just been introduced to. And I think throughout my time, I actually have been both a volunteer, a board person, and a staff person over the last 10 years. And Pete has been one of those people in my life. He hasn't been a close mentor, but he's someone who's been part of my cloud of witnesses and one of my guardian angels, and there's just been key moments where I would have a conversation here and there with Pete, like fall meetings of last year or riding on the bus to World Assembly. Just key minutes when I've needed to process or get advice, God has just plopped Pete right next to me. And I tend to commute from California here maybe once a month, and every time I get to my desk, Pete has always left me little articles with a post-it in his name or a note or different books I should read. And I think some of my most favorite times with you have been when you've sent me your newsletter, and I would be in my office reading your poetry about marriage and family and being a dad and just how important those things to you were. And I think those things touched me just as deeply as the theological advice about multi-ethnicity or a particular book that might bless me in my quiet time. And it was such a wonderful privilege to be able to have you come and speak at the last multi-ethnic staff conference, and to have you be one of the heroes who was there in the very early days and recognizing, as so many of our ethnic minority staff did, that if it weren't for you, so many of us wouldn't even be in the room. And even though many of us faced a number of challenges or difficulties, the thought of you bringing black and white students together in Mississippi in the 60s, when it actually could get you killed, was something that was both very courageous and still struck us as very bold and visionary. So thank you for being one of my angels. And even though you won't be in the building, I get the sense that you will somehow still be present and I'll get to see you at opportune moments. So thank you.
I remember working with Pete for Marketplace 86, and what a delight that was in light of NCF's commitment to integrate faith and profession, to sort of see and experience excitement about that having being rolled out in all the disciplines and being part of that community. And Pete, you've been a great encouragement to me along the way, and I deeply appreciate that. So I will comment also about the, many people have talked about the wisdom and the mentoring, and that has happened in my life, of advice and things that you've passed on from time to time, and I deeply appreciate that. And I read his book also, that that really is wonderful, a way of just thinking about life and the kingdom and how that rolls out in all kinds of ways. And I look forward to ways that you will be continuing to do that in the relationships that you have with people. And then I just thank Shirley and Pete for also walking through illness and facing hard stuff with a sense of trust in God and life in the kingdom. And you are teaching us as a community many, many things. And so I'm grateful for that. And just pray God's blessing and continued strength for you both. We love you and appreciate you deeply. Look forward to contact and relationship and continuing blessings.
It's been all mature sharers. Now it's time for a little bit of Pete Hammond real humor story. I journeyed with Pete a long time too, and I'm grateful for his friendship, his companionship, his coaching, and his comradeship. But a couple of stories. He was always good for a meal. And the meals usually were a nice place because he liked to eat too. So one time we were stuck at Moody Bible Institute, and Pete said, "Do you want to go to the top of the Sears Tower or the John Hancock building?" I said, "The top of the 90 whatever?" And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "Dude." So we're walking down the street from Moody to the building, and at that point in time, it was still kind of a transitional neighborhood. So we're walking by, and this guy comes, takes his trench coat, goes like this, and he had watches in his eyes. He was just selling hot watches, and he goes, "Want one?" Another fun incident was once I took Pete to a Chinese restaurant in Chinatown, Chicago, and we were eating dim sum. This is one of his favorites. And you know, in dim sum, they're little pieces of food, and you're using chopsticks. And he was gamely using chopsticks to kind of identify with my donor friends who were with us. And he very carefully picked up this piece of shomai right here, and he went, and it landed right into his tea, and it splashed. It was a very enjoyable cross-cultural moment.
Are there still donors?
Just barely. So I want to thank you, Pete, for your part of my life. You've been a great companion and coach.
Mm-hmm. A couple more.
I don't have a lot to say, but I I think I've had maybe three conversations with Pete in my 11 years that I've been here, not very many, but what I have learned about Pete is his dedication to his family and his wife, and that has spoken volumes to me personally, and I will always remember that through the prayer requests and the emails and the many other times that I've seen such dedication, and it personally has meant a lot to me. I appreciate that, and just want to say that. And also, working in the computer department, I will miss your laugh.
Well, yeah. I got to work with Pete. I mean, I've run into him from time to time in various capacities since 1981 or thereabouts, and especially that was around the time you were maybe going to be president of IV, I think. He tells the story about the job interview where he and Peter Northrup and who was the other kind, Bob Freiling maybe, went down to Chicago to all interview together with the board for this position. They all rode down there together.
Dumbest car rides I ever.
But I got to work with Pete during a transitional period in advancement. Our boss Robert Peicher had died unexpectedly, and we were in a difficult place, and it was clear that there were probably transitions in the wind. And so, on the one hand, Pete was our boss to help us get the day-to-day stuff done. But I'll just never forget, I was very impressed how your values during that time were to help us as people kind of figure out where we are and where we might go next. We did exercises that would involve taking a sort of inventory of our personal dreams and desires and our spiritual gifts, perhaps to some degree. And that kind of focus on the stewardship of the people, it's sort of parallel to, it's related to the job, but it's not not exactly in the details of the job. And this is this remains a very impressive thing in my mind. I'm not a supervisor, so I don't get to do so much of it, although, well, we just had my niece up for a few days, and I can see that sort of exercise, if I were able to do it effectively, might be just what she needed right now. She's 21 and going through all the things one goes through at that age. I have a couple of requests of Pete. If you're going to continue writing, which, Kafka said a non-writing writer is a monster inviting madness. So, if you're going to continue writing, there are two subjects that I would value hearing from you on. One is, I think there's a place to do what you've done for Marketplace. You know, how does Marketplace fit into our Christian life? I think you should do one on humor. Because it's not just the laugh, but the jokes that precede the laugh. and the attitude of ease with some things that some of us take too seriously, and so on. It's there's something in there. The other is, I don't feel like I've heard enough from you about your experiences in the civil rights era in the Deep South, and there's got to be just a ton more stories there than I've been privileged to hear. So, if it seems good to you, let us have a few more of those, because we need not to forget that time either. Anyway, thanks for everything.
No, 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 sit down.
No, I was going to say, is anyone dying?
Yeah. My name is Jay Baldwin, and I go way, way, way back with Pete, all the way back to my freshman year in college back in 1972, and I'll tell two quick personal stories that made a huge impact. As freshmen, you get involved with InterVarsity, you go to a big event, and one of the things you do is you start scouting, you talk to the other students and staff and figure out who are the people you want to rub alongside with. And I remember the first event I went to, everybody said, you got to go hear Pete Hammond. Okay, fine. So no matter what he speaks on, you just got to go hear him. So fine. So I went to this topic, and I still remember it. It was on the subject of taking care of your parents. And what you said, I was the last of my siblings to finish, to leave the nest. And you said that when that happens, your parents go through a period of evaluating. How is that? How did I do as a parent? And it says, you need to go back to your parents and tell them and help them with that evaluation. And I did that. And I did that. And I put my mother in tears by telling her stuff. And it put a new dimension on my relationship with my parents that I continued to give them feedback, all because of that talk, the little seminar I went to way back in 72. Second thing is when I came on staff, and again, anytime Pete spoke, I always made sure I was there. And then I left staff and then the business world, and then came back on staff and finally got a chance to work with Pete in Marketplace with Steve and Deanne and Denise, of which I believe that was probably the most dysfunctional but probably the most valuable learning experience I've ever had. It got so bad at Place we had to hire a consultant to come in and help us because we were about to kill each other. But the thing about it, this consultant came in, and after she gave us all these tests and everything, she says, do you guys realize what you have? And yeah, we're about to kill each other. I mean, she says, you and your little small group have the whole gifting of the body all in your little group. And if you can learn how to put those gifts together, you will have something that is very, very rare. And we took that as a challenge. And we began to work on our relationships. And it is indeed the most valuable experience in a team building session that I've ever had. Because I realized and started respecting the people on my team for the gifts that they brought in, even as hard as it was for me to accept those. And the other thing that you had a huge impact on me, Pete, when you pulled me aside one day, and very harshly, but you honestly said, Jay, if you will listen to me, I see so much of myself in you when I was your age. And if you will listen to me, I will save you 15 years out of your life. And you did. The things that you told me that day, I still have a little piece of paper written on, were things I still commit myself to because they were the hard edges in my life that I knew I'd have to spend the rest of my life working on. Mm. And you had the guts and the love for me to bring those out and let me know. Appreciate you.
We want to do two things before we close. We want to give Pete, and I don't know if Shirley wants to say anything, but she's saying, well, thank you. We'll let Pete have the podium, which is a dangerous thing. And then second of all, we want to pray for them. But is there anyone who just would feel terrible without saying something? So, last chance.
I would just like to say that there are many international friends around the world who have been the recipients of the wonderful materials that have been produced by Marketplace. They come from cultures where bribery and corruption are the daily norm, and they really appreciate it. I'm going to give Pete a pen because I can't believe he'll stop writing here. He proves a pen is mightier than the sword.
Pete, it's been said in so many ways, but I want to thank you, and I think a lot of us want to thank you for teaching us how to be, I'm going to use this term, I've been sitting here trying to think, what's the best way to say this? I want to thank you for teaching us to be appropriately reckless for the kingdom. We like your style. You've done it with great style, and you inspire all of us to take good risks and to be appropriately reckless for God's glory. And so we're grateful for that. And the Hammond family, I know you know this, but Pete loves you so dearly, and we've been the beneficiary of hearing those stories and walking with the entire family. And he's, I want to thank you. I know you know that, and I know he shares that with you, but it comes out in so many ways in the way that he relates to all of us. And so we thank you for walking with Pete and for loving him and letting him love you. Oh, was there one more?
Well, Pete is often talking about what Shirley has meant to him, and I've often thought, well, the woman behind the man, you know, and yet actually the reality is that it's the man behind the woman in some ways, because she in her own right is a towering pillar of strength to many of us who know her, particularly in our church. Mentored us and showed us an example of godliness and commitment to the purposes of God. So thank you, Shirley, for your involvement with us.
Yeah.
I just got to say one more thing about Pete. We met 40 years ago at a luncheon in the home of Peter Northrup. You don't remember this probably, but we were new area directors, and you had just come on staff, and I had just become the area director, and I was scared. And I thought, what am I doing in this role? I'm not a manager of anything. I don't know anything about budgets. I don't know what to do with fellow staff. I'm just going to pee on the staff roles. And I thought, what's an AD going to be like anyway? And John Alexander was leading this meeting, and we had this dinner. And it was all very informal, and I sat right across from this fellow named Pete Hammond. And we started telling each other stories. And we got to laughing. And I think the whole dining room wondered what was wrong with him. Just, you know how Pete laughs. And then he'd tell me when I'd go bursting into laughter. And it went on like that all evening. And I thought at the end of that, I guess it's going to be okay. He has that effect on you. You all probably know him mostly from his public persona, but his private conversations and over dinner tables are most encouraging for those of us who have dinner.
Well, that is a great segue. Thank you.
Almost every piece of literature in the New Testament not written to an individual. It's written to a local expression of the people of God who will only achieve becoming like Jesus if they give themselves to one another. So whatever has been true that's been said today about me is about people in my life who've helped me come from a unredeemed John Wayne wannabe to something a little better. And I want to thank a few of them. First of all, to three leaders and friends who are now with God. Paul Little, the first evangelism coordinator in the history of InterVarsity and mentor to me. Jim McLeish, who became the redeemed father I never had in my birth family. And then, as been mentioned earlier, Robert Peitcher. I'm one of two children. I have a sister. Robert became the brother I always wanted. Secondly, there are special partners in my life now. They're not home with God yet. I'm glad. And the first that I want to mention is Barney. He alluded to the fact that we've been through some stuff. That's a code word. For deep times of intimacy and horrible times of conflict and days in which we both wanted to kill each other. And by the grace of God, I consider him to be my closest friend in the employ of InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. From enemy to cherished soulmate. Secondly, Deanne. I need you up here, Deanne. Sorry. I know you hate it. Where is she? There we go. Deanne suggested that we're different on a lot of fronts. So I decided I'd wrap her gift in something that we argue over regularly. She would be a Republican and I'm not. But there's much more to our journey together than that. And if I've been able to produce, it's because she's able to take it out of my spirit, my mind, and my visions, and my wandering, and my recklessness, John, and translate it into deliverables. And it's made an incredible difference in the final third of my career to be a partner. And there's a couple of little gifts in here for you and Larry. And then the other special partner now that I want to mention is one who saw me through a tunnel and helped me land on what I've focused on since 1986, and it's Jim Lundgren. Jim and I had an experience together that people say can't happen. We co-directed a national event. The textbooks and all the wisdom in the University says you cannot have co-directors. Yes, you can. Especially when they're wired like Jim. And they help my strengths shine, and then he absorbed the brunt of my weaknesses on the team for Marketplace 86. Then lastly, after those who were in my life in the past and those who are in my life now are the ones I'm counting on for the future regarding my passion. That's related to, yes, Marketplace, ministry in daily life, yes, to alumni, to former staff. But one of the things I'm most thankful for in recent days under Alec is our new slogan, transforming students and faculty, renewing campuses, and the fruit of that is developing world changers. And it's also in our core values where we call it whole life stewardship, acknowledging that Jesus is Lord over everything. And there are five people I want to mention that make it easier for me to leave, because they are flying the flag, digging the dishes, and stirring up stuff. Cam Anderson, John Terrell, Steve Cook, Jim Tebbe, with what's going on with Urbana and the call being applied to all, and Roy Stephen, who's taken our little baby, the website, and given it a future. I remember how confused Roy was in one of our meetings during that process that Donna worked so hard to pull off, and he announced to me it was going to happen. The website's going to live on in urbana.org, and I looked at Roy and I said, "You make me feel like that woman in Luke chapter 2 whose spirit leapt within her." And he kind of... There's one other person who came in late that I want to acknowledge. You need to know him. One of the things that's helped Shirley and me since we moved to Madison, the Dane County, in 1979, has been since 1985, our family of faith at Christ Presbyterian Church, which is, like every church, a collection of confessing wretches who occasionally act like they're redeemed. We have been in and out and up and down and all over the place. And one of our pastors is here. We have two lead pastors, Dale Chapin, who's intensely wired about mission and theology, and then Glenn Reifkeldorfer, who is a wonderful comment, or compliment, I'm sorry. Whereas one is going like this, Glenn is kind of a hug looking for a place to happen. My pastor, Glenn Reifkeldorfer. And finally, there's Shirley. You all have been blessed. Whatever you've gotten through me has been anchored in my journey with her. Well, I started dating in 1951, and in 1952, a few days after she embraced the faith for the first time, she led me to Jesus. So we've been together an awful lot longer than 49 years of official marriage. And I'm hoping for a lot more. My wife, Shirley.